To the text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for our meeting this morning are the opening words of verse number 8 there of Psalm number 49, where it says, "For the redemption of their soul is precious." Now, in recent weeks, we've looked at the preciousness of the Word of God. We've looked at the preciousness of Christ, the Savior Himself. And today I want us to consider the preciousness of the redemption of man's soul. And my, you and I, we are directed to this vital subject through the words of our text here in verse number 8 of Psalm 49, where it says, "For the redemption of their soul is precious." And in this psalm, the psalmist really is showing us that man's riches cannot redeem and cannot save the soul of man from sin and from hell. Look at verse 6 and verse 7 of the psalm. It says, "They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him." And also, if you look there at verse 10 and verse 17 of the psalm there, you'll see that the rich must die like the poor, and that they too must leave their wealth behind them just like everyone else. Verse 10 says, "For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish," and notice it, "and leave their wealth to others." Again, verse 17 says, "For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him." And my, it is within this setting that our text says, "For the redemption of their soul is precious." And here the psalmist tells us that the redemption, indeed, that the saving of man's soul is very costly. And we're told here and we're shown here that the riches of this world, I want you to understand this today, the riches of this world have always been insufficient to save and to redeem the soul of man. But my, as well as showing here the futility of riches to redeem and save the soul of man, there is also another application to these words in our text this morning. And this application is the fact that the redeeming of man's soul, the redemption of the soul of man, in the sight of Almighty God, the sight of the Holy God of heaven, is something that is exceedingly precious, vitally precious. And people, the Word of God would show us it is so precious in the sight of God that when a soul is redeemed, all the angels of heaven rejoice together around the throne of God in glory. And my, when we talk here about the redemption of man's soul, we are talking here about the eternal spirit of man that can be saved from sin, saved from hell, and sure of heaven. As we had think then this morning upon the preciousness of the redemption of man's soul, three simple things I want to set before you. If you're not saved today, I pray God will speak to you, especially in our gathering, that even today you might come to know the redeeming power of the Lord Jesus Christ in your soul before Almighty God. Notice first of all here with me just the simple truth that man's soul is precious. You look at what our text says there, verse 8 of Psalm 49, just says in the middle of the verse, "Their soul is precious." You think about that. The soul of man is precious. We can say today that the soul of man is very precious. Why? Because of the attributes of the soul of man. You think back to the beginning of time whenever God created man. It says in the book of Genesis, "And God created man in his own image. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul." And my, being created in the image of God, you and I, we have a soul. There is a spiritual dimension to our being. You and I, we have a soul that has understanding, a soul that has judgment, that has imagination, that has a will, that has an affection, that has a conscience. And all of this, you see, my friend, this morning, you and I are vastly different, vitally different from the beasts of the field around us in our world day by day. The soul of man is precious because of its attributes. It's also precious because of its aspiration. You see, in our soul, there is a thirst that only God can satisfy. There is a thirst that only God can fill in the soul of man. You turn back to Psalm 42, back over the page in your Bible. Look at verse 1 of the Psalm and look at how David speaks of that thirst in his own heart and life. For he says in verse 1 of Psalm 42, he says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks," thinking of the deer panting after water, he says, "so panteth my soul after thee, O God." And there David is speaking of that thirst after God in his soul. And how he's highlighting the fact here that within the soul of man, that there is a thirst that only God can satisfy. There is a thirst that only God can meet the need of. Again in another psalm, the psalmist speaks of the Lord and says, "He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." My dear friend, in the meeting this morning, understand this, that all the wealth of this world, whatever it is, whatever you can gather from this world, indeed all the sin of this world, whatever that sin is, indeed all the pleasures of this world, whatever pleasures the world may offer you, whatever pleasures the world may set before you, all these things together cannot satisfy your soul. They cannot meet the deepest longing of your heart and soul. Only God can satisfy your soul. Only God can meet the need of your eternal and never dying soul. You think of the words of the hymn writer, a great hymn that was penned during the 1859 revival. We don't know the author, but they spake of Christ, the Son of God, and highlighted this very truth, how only God can meet the need of the soul. For they said of Jesus Christ, the God-man, the Son of God, "Now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me, there's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee." And only God, I tell you, can satisfy and meet the need of your soul. There's nothing in this world that can meet that need, nothing in sin or the pleasures of this world that can meet that need. Also, we can say man's soul is precious today because of its immortality. And friend, your soul and my soul, our souls are eternal. Our souls will never die. Your soul will never die. You remember the words of Christ in the Gospel of Matthew says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to destroy the soul." The soul of man has been described as a spark that can never be extinguished. It has been described as a sun that will never set or a life that never expires. And friend, your soul is your most precious possession that concerns your being before Almighty God. It is eternal. Your soul is immortal. Your soul will never die. But then we can also say that man's soul is precious because of the great conflict there is for your soul's possession. There's a great conflict. There's a great warfare for the possession of your soul. What is this warfare about? What is this conflict about? This conflict is between God and Satan. It is between heaven and hell. My in salvation, God's purpose is to possess and to save your soul from sin and from eternal ruin and hell. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he spake of that great purpose in John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 17, when he says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And my, the purpose of God in salvation for your soul is that your soul would be saved, that you would be saved from the awful ruin and plight of your sin and the penalty of your sin. Then on the other side of that great conflict, there is Satan's purpose for your soul. What is his purpose for your soul? Satan's purpose for your soul is to keep it within his grasp. To keep your soul under the sway of sin. under the awful darkness and bondage of Satan and sin, and to have your soul lost and damned and doomed eternally in a lost sinner's hell. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Oh, friend, there's a battle going on, I tell you, for your soul this morning, this meeting. A battle between God and Satan. A battle between heaven and hell. Oh, this is why your soul is so precious. Yes, man's soul is precious. Notice secondly here from our text this morning, from Psalm 49 and the verse number 8. Notice also that the redemption of man's soul is precious. Look at what the verse says in its entirety, beginning at verse 8. It says, "For the redemption of their soul is precious." And these words here tell us that the redemption, or if you like, the salvation of man's soul before God is very precious. It is very costly. Why is that the case? Why this redemption of man's soul is precious? Because it has been anticipated way back in the Old Testament time. You see this in the Levitical sacrifices of the Old Testament. You see this in the great promise that God made whenever man fell into sin in the Garden of Eden, when he spake to Satan in Genesis 3 verse 15 and said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." That was the first promise in the Bible of the redemption of the soul of man through Christ, the seed of the woman. Over in the book of Job also, in Job 33, verses 24 and 28, it speaks there of the redemption of man's soul, for it speaks of God, and it says these words, "Then he is gracious unto him, and saith, Deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. He shall deliver his soul from going down to the pit." Dear friend, in our meeting this morning, this way of redemption for your soul and mine has been a way that has been planned by God, even not just at the beginning of time, but the Bible will show us planned by God, even in eternity past. That is why it is so precious, so important to God. But we can also say further this morning that the redemption of the soul of man is precious. Why? Because it has been accomplished by the coming of Christ, the Son of God, into this world. And by his sacrifice on the cross, by the shedding of his blood upon the cross, he has provided, he has made a way for the soul of man to be redeemed from the awful ruin and plight and penalty of sin. You think of those words of the Apostle Peter to those who were saved, whose souls were saved, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Speaking of the sacrifice of Christ, he says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." There you see that the great cost involved in the redemption of the soul of man, the coming of Christ into this world, the sinless, spotless, flawless Lamb of God, and see him going to the cross and dying for guilty sinners and shedding his blood and pouring his life out unto death. The Bible speaks of Christ and says the Son of Man gave his life a ransom for many. It was Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher of a bygone day, who said the heart of the gospel is redemption, and the essence of redemption is the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross. There's the cost of redemption. When you look at the cross work of Christ today and see one dying for guilty sinners, bleeding, pouring out his life unto death, he who was sinless, without spot, without blemish. There you see the awful cost involved, the awful price involved when Christ cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" My speaking of Christ as his Redeemer, the hymn writer could say, "I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me on the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free." Friend, in our meeting this morning, can you say, "Yes, Christ is my Redeemer. Do you know him today personally as your Redeemer? Do you know the redeeming power of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and soul? Praise God, you can partake and know of that redeeming power. If you come before God as a repentant sinner and you turn by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him as your Redeemer and trust him to be your Savior from your sin. In the book of Isaiah, you read there of Christ the Redeemer, and he says, "Look unto me, be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." It is by looking unto Christ that you can know and trusting him as your Savior, as your Redeemer, that you can know the redeeming power of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and in your soul before Almighty God. Yes, the redemption of man's soul is precious because it was anticipated away back, the very dawn of time. It's precious because of the great price that was paid, that the shed blood, the sinless blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. But we can also say further this morning that the redemption of the soul is precious because the blood of Christ is of infinite and eternal value in its achievement. What do we mean by that? In other words, there's no limit to the virtue of the blood of Christ. In other words, there is no depravity of sin too great that the blood of Christ cannot deal with and the blood of Christ cannot cleanse away. My, there is no failure on the part of the blood of Christ when it is applied by faith to the heart and to the soul of man. Oh, friend, in our meeting this morning, by the precious blood of Christ, you can know this side of eternity, the forgiveness of all of your sins, every single sin that you've ever committed by God, before God. What does it say in Ephesians 1 verse 7 of Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. My, through the redeeming blood of Christ, you can know peace in your heart with God, your maker. The enmity can be put away. You can know God as your loving, eternal, heavenly Father. The Bible says of Christ, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. And my, by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, you can know the purifying power of God in your heart and in your soul. It says in Hebrews 9 verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The blood of Christ applied can purify your heart and your soul before Almighty God. My, through the blood of Christ applied by faith to your heart, you can know a place in God's heaven. In fact, this is the only guarantee for you to have a place in God's heaven, is for you to have the redeeming blood of Christ applied by faith to your heart. For what does it say in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19? It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. How? By the blood of Jesus Christ. When you come today, whenever that will be, wherever that will be, however that will be, there's only one thing that will guarantee you a place in God's heaven. Not as if you have had the blood of Christ, the redeeming blood of Christ, applied by faith to your heart. If the blood of Christ is not applied by faith to your heart, when you come today, there's no hope of heaven for you. That is why this matter is so important. That is why it is so precious. See today that your soul is precious. There's maybe things in your life you think are very precious. Maybe there's family relationships. Maybe there's things that is your substance, your wealth in life. And I wouldn't demote them for any reason. And they're important in their place. But above and beyond all the things of this world and this earth that you have or may deal with day by day, your soul is most precious, your most precious possession. And my, the redeeming of your soul is so precious that it took the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, to leave heaven, to come down into this world, to go to the cross and give up his life a ransom for many, to provide a way of redemption for your soul and my soul. Notice one final thought just in connection with our text this morning, and we see this truth also that the time for man's soul to be redeemed is also very precious. I want you to see that. That the time for man's soul to be redeemed is very precious. You look at the psalm in its entirety and you read it when you go home and you'll see, yes, that the psalm teaches us that wealth can never redeem man's soul. But it also shows us that a time will come when man's opportunity to be redeemed will be over. And it will be gone, never to return again. And you see this by the very last words there of verse 8 of Psalm 49. It says, for the redemption of their soul is precious. And then note these words, it says, and it ceases forever. What those words really mean is that they tell of a time, they speak of a time when it will be impossible for a person to know God's redeeming power. In other words, a time when every opportunity to be saved and to be redeemed will be gone. It will cease. It will be gone forever. It will be gone, never to come again, never to return again. When is that time? By the time when it is impossible for a man, woman, young person, whatever, to be redeemed, is that time when death comes. That time whenever you and I pass out into God's eternity. Then it will be impossible to be redeemed when death comes. And people in the meeting this morning, death is the great common denominator of us all, no matter who we are, whether we're rich or poor or whatever. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Each one of us in this meeting this morning, should the coming of the Lord tarry, you and I, we have an appointment with death. An appointment that we will not evade. An appointment that we will not put from us, should the coming of Christ tarry. You think of what Job has to say about this in Job chapter number 14 and the verse number 5, speaking of man. He says, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. And friend, whenever death comes for you and for me, our souls will be ushered out from this scene of time, ushered out into God's eternity. And my, if you're saved, if you are redeemed by the blood of Christ, your soul will be taken into heaven. Your soul shall be with Christ. The Bible says, which is far better. But if you are not saved, when death comes for you, then your soul will be forever lost in a lost sinner's hell. And the Lord Jesus Christ warns you of that. He warns you in love. He warns you in grace. He warns you in mercy to your soul when he speaks in John chapter 3, verse 36, when he says there, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You think of the tree when it is cut down, when it is fallen, when it is sawn down, it falls where it lies, and there it remains. And so man departs from this scene of time to either heaven or hell, and that state in eternity is fixed whenever he dies because of how he will die. In other words, if he dies out of Christ, his soul is lost forever in hell. But if he dies in Christ, his soul will be with the redeemed and the people of God in heaven forevermore. And I must warn you today that if you die unsaved, whoever you are, without the redeeming blood of Christ applied by faith to your heart, you will never, ever again have an opportunity to experience the redeeming and the saving power of Christ in your soul. You will never again have an opportunity to be saved, to be redeemed, and to be right with God. You think of what the wise man Solomon says about death. He says, There is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. That's why the Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Friend, this surely teaches you and I that our time on earth to seek Christ as Redeemer, it is most precious. What are you doing with that time? Have you used the time that God has given you, whatever years you have had already upon this earth, have you used that time to seek Christ, to call upon Christ, to trust Him as your Savior, to confess your sins to Him, to know His redeeming power in your soul? What are you doing with that time? In the book of Ephesians, Paul writes about redeeming the time, he says, because the days are evil. Don't waste your time. The Bible says time is short. And your time is most precious, dear sinner. I urge you now today to come by faith to Christ as a repentant sinner. Whoever you are in this meeting, young or old, man or woman, whatever your station in life is, and seek Christ and trust Him as your Redeemer. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. I think this morning of Zacchaeus. I'm sure we've all heard the story of Zacchaeus, the little man up the sycamore tree, the tax collector. And it says in the Bible, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. The Lord wasn't staying in Jericho. He was passing through that city. But we read of this little man, the chief of the publicans, the tax collectors. He had a desire to see Jesus, and he was up the sycamore tree. And it says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, listen, make haste and come down. For today I must abide at thy house. And then listen to these tremendous words about Zacchaeus. It says, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Zacchaeus did not waste the time that he'd been given to seek Christ, to call upon the Lord. Unsaved friend in our meeting this day, this meeting could be your last opportunity. This morning could be your last opportunity to get right with God. Therefore, I say to you, despise Christ no longer. Waste your time no longer. Trust Him now today. Ask Him now today as you sit in this meeting. Lift up your heart in faith to the Lord and ask the Lord to save you. Ask the Lord to cleanse you and redeem your soul. The hymn writer says, oh, be earnest, death is near. Thou wilt perish lingering here. Sleep no longer, rise and flee. Lo, the Savior waits for thee. The Lord says, come unto me. He invites you, He beckons you, He calls you. Flee to Christ today for the redemption of your precious, your never dying soul. May God bless you today and help you to come for Christ's sake. We're going to close our meeting this morning. We'll be singing together the hymn number 313. 313, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. This was the testimony of the man who wrote this hymn. He was wise. He was leaning upon Christ, the blood and the righteousness of Christ for his soul salvation. Friend, follow that example today. Close in with Christ and lean upon Christ by faith to be your Savior. It's a great old hymn. 313 will stand as we sing. To stand as we sing.
Oh,
Our Father and our God, we thank thee for thy presence with us this morning. Bless thy word, thy truth to every heart. We thank thee for each one in this gathering today who can rejoice in Christ as their Redeemer, who can say that it is well with their soul, that their hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. But Lord, should there be one in our gathering today and they have not this hope, they have not this assurance, Lord, speak to them. And may they choose Christ today. May they call upon the Lord. And may the great hope of life eternal, saved and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Part us now with your fear and favor. Take us to our separate homes in safety. Journey with us. Bless us throughout this thy day. And return us again in thy will this evening hour. For we ask it all for Jesus' sake, giving thee thanks. Amen.